I say that every time we're gone, but I also would like to thank Gary Timmer and Josh for taking over while Serena and I were away. I could go on and tell you how important it is that you get away from things, but I think you all know that because I've told you that a whole bunch of times. But we are seriously excited to be back, and I'm equally as excited to share the word with you today. So let's begin. Because you've just sat down, why don't you stand back up? All right, let's begin with our Bible declaration. So take your Bibles in your hands and hold them up towards heaven. Do any of you know this by heart yet?
Yeah.
Do you? I don't. I mess up on it every Sunday. Okay. Ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. You know, I'm going to give a little bit of a disclaimer this morning, and I've given this disclaimer 1,000 times, but I'll probably give it 1,000 times more. I don't find particular joy in talking about the devil. I think too many people are too focused on the devil, and too many people blame the devil for things that they have going on in their lives that have been invited into their lives by themselves, and the devil really has nothing to do with it. That being said, okay, the Bible does say that we're not to be ignorant of his devices, okay? We're not to be ignorant of the things he does. In other words, we're not to be caught by surprise by the things that he orchestrates. So, with that in mind, all right, we are currently talking and learning about how to shut the open doors in our lives that, when they are allowed to remain open, give the enemy or the devil access to our lives. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? I hope so. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul the Apostle gives us a warning, if you will. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, all right, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The Bible also says in Romans 8:7-8. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. All right. As Christians, you and I, we primarily or we mainly face and fight two enemies, okay? Two enemies. And the truth is, both are equally as powerful as the other one. We fight the devil, also called Satan, or called the enemy, or called old Slewfoot, or whatever you want to call him, okay? The accuser of the brethren. But we also fight our flesh, or our sinful nature that we're born with. And there are times in our lives where the nature that we are born with, or I should say now our sin nature, it overcomes us. Amen? Come on, just be honest this morning. This message or any message isn't going to do you any good if you aren't honest with yourselves. Amen? Okay. There's times when it overcomes us. And there are times, sad to say, that Satan himself overcomes us. Have you ever experienced that? Nobody. That's funny because the next line that I have is there isn't a Christian alive that hasn't experienced this. Amen? Nobody. No, say nobody. Nobody can say they have never been taken down by the devil. Hello? I got the front two rows agreeing with me. And the thing is, when it's our flesh that overcomes us, it's our fault. Isn't it? It is. Okay. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And when the enemy overcomes us, believe it or not, it's still our fault. Because according to 2 Peter 1:3, Peter says this, his, being God, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In other words, God has given us everything that we need. Hello. Everything that we need to walk in victory. But nevertheless, sometimes we open doors. Amen. Sometimes we open doors and then we senselessly fall, and then we get back up and we repent and we go about our lives. And that's really the senseless scenario, if you will, that all of us seem to go through. Of course, some of us, of course, fall to greater things and maybe more visible things. But like I said, there isn't a Christian around that hasn't experienced this. We open doors to the devil. We fall, we get back up, we repent, and we go about our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that senseless cycle in my life. That's right. Amen? I want to be done with this merry-go-round where things are great and then things are bad. And you know, I'm tired of circling that same old mountain and never getting over it. Is anybody with me this morning? Okay, that's good, that's good. If the scriptures are true, and they are, and God has given me everything, say everything, everything that I need for life and godliness, then why do I keep falling and floundering and never see any growth in my life? Why is that? Okay. Hence. That's a good preaching word, hence. That's like amidst. Do you ever use amidst in your life? Preachers say amidst all the time. All right, never mind. Hence, the reason why and the reason for the series that we're going through right now called Shutting Doors. And today's installment is part two, which is entitled Fully Immersed. If you feel the same way that I do, then you'll have to agree with me, okay? Really, you should anyway. It's time that we started shutting the doors on the enemy instead of opening the doors for the enemy. Come on, people. Come on. The question is, how do we shut those doors that the enemy walks right through and into our lives through? Are you ready for the answer?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Are you really ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. It's really kind of simple. We become a student of the Word of God, and we begin to be obedient to what the Word says.
Amen.
I mean, that's not so hard to figure out. It really isn't. And listen, I'm going to go a little bit off subject here, but I'm really not. Because in Romans 10:17, the Bible tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like that scripture. So our faith is directly connected to the word, right? And if our faith is directly connected to the word of God, that tells us that it's important that we know what the word of God says. All right. Because when you hear the word of God, and when you heed the word of God, which is those two things go hand in hand, okay? One doesn't work without the other. Things in your life will change, and they really will. Because we've been given everything, say everything. We've been given everything, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that we need for this life. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? If you believe the word of God, you've got to believe that. It states that we've been given all that we need. You know, we can walk around and we can say, well, I'm just not equipped for that. Yes, you are. Okay, you've been given everything, not some of what you need. You've been given everything that you need. Because the Word of God is where we're going to find the way or the ability to shut those doors that we seem to open in our lives. And you know what? Nobody else can open those doors in your life. Come on. You open doors in your life. You can say, well, you don't know what that person said to me. Doesn't matter. You still are the one that opened those doors. Do you get that this morning? Nobody does that except you personally. And it's sad to say, but many of us do that more than others do that. Are you with me this morning? The truth is, the enemy, the devil, is on the lookout for any crack in the foundation of our lives so that he can walk right in and begin to mess up our lives. Do you believe that this morning? You know, I know there's teachings around that say, well, the devil is a defeated foe, and he is. But you know, for a defeated foe, he sure gives me enough problems, all right? So you've got to be aware that he still is fighting against you. But, and I love it when there's a but God in here, okay? I love this. But we have been given an explosive, superhuman type of power through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Here he goes. Amen. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. To close every door, to bar every window, and seal every crack, and block the enemy from access to our life. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. In John 14:30, Jesus said, the ruler, or depending on what version that you read, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Wouldn't you love to be able to say that? And he has nothing in me. You see, Jesus knew the devil would come to tempt him. He knew that. Much like he comes to tempt you and I today. So he was very aware, Jesus was very aware of the devil's intentions. But he also knew, okay, he also knew that because he lived an upright life, okay, every crack and every door and every window into his life were slammed closed and locked tight. Oh man, if we could only say that. There was absolutely no access point in Jesus' life for the enemy to enter through. None. Do you believe that this morning? And in the same way, okay, in the very same way, because Jesus came to earth as what? As a man, fully God, fully man, okay? But he came to earth as a man, struggled with the same things I would struggle with, never opened a door. Wouldn't you love to say that? I've never opened a door in my life. No. But of course, you'd be lying. But it's so important that we watch and that we have every crack and every door, every window, if you will, slammed closed and locked tight. But the question is, how do we do that? And Gary Timmer, would you come? You thought I forgot, didn't you? I did.
My mind has already gone 100 miles an hour with all the stuff you're saying. So I was actually thinking of schools. I know a lot of you work at schools, and pretty much all of you have been to schools. But you know what changes have been made since April of 1999 at Columbine for making sure that the doors are closed, and how much different it is now. But let's pray. God, we know that there's not one person that's fallen short of the glory of God. But Father, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, your Spirit, your power, Lord, our lives can be changed. God, as long as we change our minds. Lord, as Pastor Wes delivers your word today, God, I pray that we would change our minds. Lord, that we would take your word and get it down deep within us. Lord, that when the next time comes, that we would resist the devil or resist our flesh. God, help us to just lean on your word, God. Rely on your word, God. Use your word, speak your word. Father, let today just be a new day in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. Can you imagine what it would be like if you really kept every door closed in your life? Can you really imagine what that would be like? I mean, I know that we should, I know that we could, I know that we can, and we even have been empowered to do it, but our flesh steps in and the door seems to fly open. Do you know what I'm talking about today? And wouldn't it be great if we were given something, say something, if we were given something that would block that from happening? Because I've been saved, how many years, Serena? That's 40. 40. She's going, Wes, when are you going to remember this anyway? I just wanted you to be part of the service. It's all right. It's all right. What was that? She says she has illustrations if I need them. Okay. Jesus and others in the New Testament spoke very clearly about a second experience that they called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Say that, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist declared this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And by saying that, he was referring to salvation. Then John continued and he said this, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, okay, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John was telling those who were listening that beyond water baptism, there's a second baptism that the baptizer himself would give to us. It would be a gift. It would be something that we couldn't make happen on our own, but Jesus would do for us. In fact, Jesus made this statement. He said, and it sounded so weird at first, he told his disciples, it's better if I go away. It's better if I get out of here, basically, right? He's saying it's better if I go to heaven, but it's better if I'm not here. Why? So that the what? The Holy Spirit would come. I mean, how could it ever be better that Jesus was gone? Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus standing next to you? Well, you know what? You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And sometimes I think we forget that fact. And we let opportunities go by. We let things happen in our lives that don't have to happen. Excuse me. And in Luke 3:16, Luke recounts the same instance in a slightly different way. John answered saying to all, this is what it says, John answered saying to all, I indeed baptized you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, so we've got it coming at us two times here. Usually if the Bible repeats itself, what does it mean? Yeah, it means it's probably important, okay? But what it really is, our goal, you and I, the goal that we have or that we should have is to be fully immersed, okay? To be fully immersed. It's also recorded in Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. And I'm giving you these scriptures because I want you to see that it's not just some obscure scripture that I'm pulling out of somewhere to make it say what I want it to say today, okay? Amen? Okay. Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, it also says that John the Baptist spoke of one coming after him who was mightier than he was, and you and I both know that he was speaking about Jesus. And he also declared that Jesus would baptize us. I want you to hear this. I'm repeating this because I want you to get it into your head, okay? That Jesus would baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And fire. We'll deal with fire another time. So, as we can see, there's a lot of talk about baptisms in the Bible, okay? There's a lot of talk just actually in the Gospels about baptism. The Greek word for baptize is baptizo, and the original meaning of baptizo is to dip and die, okay? Dip and die. In its early usage, it described the process of dipping a cloth or a garment into a vat of color to completely consume it. In other words, you're gonna put that piece of cloth all the way down in there, then leaving the cloth or garment in the dye long enough for the material to soak up the new color, and then pulling the garment out of the dye with a permanently changed outward appearance. You know I'm gonna use that to say what we should what should happen to us when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we change. For the better, we change, okay? Remember, baptizo means to baptize or to fully immerse. People are often confused by the difference between being baptized by the Spirit into Christ and being baptized in the Holy Spirit by Christ. They get that mixed up. They really do. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." We, every one of us here, if you're saved, okay, have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ at the moment we were saved. At the moment we were saved. And when we claim Jesus as being the Lord of our life, the Holy Spirit miraculously, excuse me, I sounded like a cat, miraculously takes us and immerses us or baptizes us into the person of Jesus Christ. And in a flash, I mean, just in a flash, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we become a member of the body of Christ. And that's good stuff. Amen? I mean, that is good stuff. It isn't hard to get into the body of Christ. Amen? You just have to accept Jesus. That's why when I serve communion, I tell people, you don't have to be a member of this church or a member of the Assemblies of God. You just have to know Jesus. Okay? The Bible talks about three different baptisms that we're going to address this morning. There's more, and I know that. But the three that we're going to talk about this morning. One is the baptism of salvation that we just mentioned, okay, which is when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. Remember when Jesus blew on the disciples and said what? Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Because he used King James, okay? The second baptism in the Holy Spirit, all right, causes a lot of trouble, if you will, between different denominations. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is when Jesus baptizes us into the, get this now, into the power of God, all right, into the power of God. It takes the power of God to close the doors in your life, okay? Do you hear me this morning? Because you've tried. Right? Amen? You've tried and you can't do it. It takes the power of God to close some doors. We can always get them open. They're never jammed when they're trying to open. We can open them with one hand. But I want you to know, it takes God to close those doors. And then there's the baptism in water, okay, which is when a pastor or somebody, believe it or not, it doesn't have to be a pastor, okay, baptizes you into water to signify that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To us, that act is something we do out of obedience. People back in biblical days viewed baptism as, oh my gosh, you know, if I have to get baptized, it's meaning I'm making a commitment to this way of life and everybody's gonna know. But that was the point, okay? And it was hard for them to do that, but those that were obedient did. But there's this immersion into the Holy Spirit, okay? How many of you are glad this morning that we're immersed into the Holy Spirit? When Jesus baptizes us in the Spirit, say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. One more time. Just make me feel good, okay? In the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Oh, I feel so good. All right? He immerses us so deeply into God's Spirit that we become completely saturated with the Spirit of God. Glory to God. We become so infused, if you will, that we are suddenly enabled to live a Spirit-filled life. We're able to live this Christian life that seems so difficult if we really look at it as a whole, to be able to go for 40 years and not go in a different direction. And that's nothing. I know some of you have been saved much longer than that. But when I think about it, I couldn't do anything for 40 years. Okay? Thank God I could be saved for 40 years. But we become so infused that we are suddenly enabled to live a Spirit-filled life in the face of any obstacle. And say any. Any obstacle. Every obstacle that the devil would try to throw in our way to hinder our Christian walk, we have been given the power to overcome anything and everything. And that ought to make you shout this morning. Amen? That ought to make you shout. This baptism is a necessary step. And it is. It is. This baptism is a necessary step in blocking the devil from having access to your lives. So first, let's talk about being baptized into the body of Christ. Okay? And we have already a little bit, but John 20, 21, and 22 records that when Jesus' disciples were saved, he said to them, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At that point, their lives changed. They were baptized into the body of Christ. The phrase, "he breathed on them," that's found in this verse that I just read, is the Greek word emphuseo, and it literally means that he breathed into them at that very moment. At that very moment. Not in a little while, but at that very moment. It happened right then. And the tense that this Greek word is in means that Jesus was saying, right now, right here, at this very moment, I want you to receive the Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Spirit, okay? It was a forceful statement. It was going to happen. He gave it to them, and they needed to receive it, amen? How many of you know you need to receive most of the things that are coming to you from God? Yes. All right? But at that very moment, they received it. And this is the moment when the Spirit of God entered the hearts of the disciples. Can you imagine? And they were saved and baptized into the body of Christ. The same thing happens to you and I when we get saved, okay? The same thing happens. We receive the Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody tell you that that's not true, because it is. That's Bible. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. But at the second baptism, we're endued with power. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? You get the power with the second baptism. Well, there's no such thing as a second baptism. Well, I'm going to prove to you that there is. It's important to understand that the account recorded in John 20, 21, and 22 is not describing the baptism by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's describing the act of salvation. You've got to understand that here. But days later, as recorded in Luke 24, 49, Jesus instructed his disciples to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were, what? Endued with power from on high. The full verse of Luke 24, 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." The Greek word for behold is iduo, which actually means, now I love this, it actually means, wow, listen to this. Can you imagine Jesus said this to his, hey, wow, you got to listen to this, okay? Jesus himself was excited about the gift that he, in time, was going to share with them. The word endued is a form of the Greek word iduo, which describes the act of putting, putting on a garment or a piece of clothing, and it also presents the idea of sinking into that garment and becoming comfortable and at ease in it. So the usage of this word clearly means that certain traits will be operative only when they're deliberately picked up and deliberately put on by your choice as one would dress themselves in a new set of clothes. Do you see that? Do you get that? I hope that's clear. Jesus' desire isn't merely to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He wants to dress us in power, glory to God. He wants to dress us in the power of the Holy Spirit until we sink into that experience and become so comfortable with the power of God. I don't know about you, because I can't speak for you. I was told the other day I say that a lot. Well, guess what? You're going to hear it a lot, okay? So I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me, all right? I want to become that comfortable with the power of God working in and through my life. I want to become that comfortable being in that position and sinking into the place where I'm really supposed to be, what God has designed for me and designed for every single believer. Excuse me. The word power, which is found in verse 49, is a form of the Greek word dunamis. And I'm sure you've all heard of dunamis before. But it not only describes power, okay, it's not just power, but it describes an explosive, superhuman power that comes with enormous energy, and it produces phenomenal and extraordinary and unparalleled truths. Wow. This word also depicts mighty deeds that are impressive. How many of you would agree that Jesus did some mighty deeds and they were pretty impressive? Amen? They were pretty impressive. So they're impressive, and they're really incomparable, and they're beyond human ability to perform. Dunamis is the very word used in the New Testament to describe miracles or miraculous manifestations. What is so awesome is this. That power, come on, people, you should get excited this morning. That power can be living in you. That power can be there for your use. Glory be to God. He has given us everything, say everything, everything that we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Glory. That is so awesome. Can I use that word? No? Trudy says no. Okay. This word was also used in the first century, okay, to depict the full might of an advancing military army. Okay? That can be you. Or to describe the effects of an earthquake or a hurricane, if you will, or a tornado or any force of nature. This is a type of power that we receive when Jesus baptizes us in, say in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verses 4 through 5 say this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Then he says this, for John truly baptized with water. See, I've got this next part underlined. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The word commanded in verse 4 indicates that this isn't an option. Okay? I mean, he commands this. Okay? Jesus then describes the promise, which is that they'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Then in Acts 1:8, Jesus continues and he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now understand something here, please. Jesus was addressing who? He was addressing those who are already saved, all right, that have already accepted him as the Lord and Savior. Jesus had already breathed the Spirit, if you will, into them, but he was explaining how the Spirit would come upon them, glory to God, and dress them in supernatural power. Jesus would soon baptize them, immersing them in the power of the Holy Spirit until they were saturated, and until they were soaked and settled into it as if they were wearing a new set of clothes. Are you following me this morning of how this should be comfortable in our lives? This should be something that we're expecting, for one thing, because if you're not expecting it, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to get it. And when Jesus stated, but you shall receive power, the phrase that he used for receive power is a form of the Greek word lambano, okay? Which means to seize or lay a hold of something in order to make it your very own. You and I got to make this thing our very own. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, we do. We have to take this in. But it also depicts one who graciously receives something that is freely and easily given, okay? This is so neat. Even just saying this, Jesus has freely and easily given us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But another important verse is Luke 10:19, okay? And it says this, "Behold, I give unto you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Over how much power of the enemy?
All.
How much?
All
the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." What's going to hurt you?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. What's going to hurt you?
Nothing.
That's right. "Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, you and I are not supposed to rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, okay? But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven."
Amen.
Glory be to God. The word "over," okay, that's said in this verse, is the Greek word, or the Greek preposition, epi. Say epi.
Epi.
Which means over or upon, okay? Why is that important? Because this word denotes a superior position. All right? It's a superior position that we've been given. In other words, the power of God gives us the upper hand or a superior position over what? Over the works of the enemy. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And the word "all" is the Greek word "pasan," which is an all-inclusive term meaning all and everything, excluding nothing. We are given power over all, meaning everything, all excluding nothing, of the power of the enemy. That means that there will be times that the devil comes against us with everything that he's got. And it may almost feel like a hurricane, if you know what I mean. Have you ever experienced that? When he comes at you with everything he's got. But Jesus said that you and I, and you ought to get ready to shout, we have been given authority over all, say all,
all
of the power of the enemy, excluding what? Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Excluding nothing. Yeah, praise God. You ought to give him a hand clap this morning. And please, let me include this. The word "enemy" is a Greek word that pictures one who holds an adversarial position of extreme hostility. That's the enemy. That's what the Bible says, okay? The truth is that the devil absolutely hates all human beings, okay, saved or unsaved, doesn't matter, because we're all made in the image of God, okay?
Amen.
So the devil is extremely, say extremely,
extremely,
hostile towards you and I, because when he sees us, he doesn't see us, he sees God. Come on, people. He sees the image of God. But Jesus said, "And nothing, absolutely nothing, by any means shall hurt you." The Greek word he used for "nothing" is a word which literally means absolutely nothing at all by any means. All right? Nothing. Nothing shall hurt you. And all right, I got a couple more Greek words, but in addition, there are two small Greek words which are OU, ooh. Can you say ooh? Ooh, which means no, and me, which means not, okay? When all of these words are put together, when these two words, anyway, the literal meaning is no, not anything. No, not anything. I mean, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that there isn't anything that can hurt us. Well, I kind of like that, amen? I kind of like the idea that I might be going through a heck of a battle, but you know what? I'm not going to get hurt. Oh, come on, people. How many of you know that even though all this is true, you still go through battles?
Yeah.
And they're usually because I have opened a door to some, or you have opened a door to some somewhere in your life, and the devil has snuck in, and the devil takes over.
Amen.
He does that, okay? He does that. But no, not anything, no, not nothing. I didn't want you to think that I didn't know what proper English was. But this means, no, not nothing, okay, shall hurt you. So what Jesus was really saying is this, and you know this, nothing, no, absolutely nothing, without exception, shall hurt you. How many of you believe what Jesus says this morning?
Amen.
One more here. The word hurt is a form of the Greek word adikeo, which means to abuse, to harm, to injure, or to maltreat, which is exactly what the devil desires to do to you and I. And he is looking, actively looking, all right, for any door, window, or crack to gain access to our lives so that he can do exactly what he does best, and that is mess up our lives. But if we are born again, how many of you in here are born again? I can find you. You're not saved. No. But if we're born again and we've received the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, excuse me, I get King Jamesy once in a while. This is really saying that we have the upper hand. And that's good, amen? We have the upper hand, and we've been placed in a superior position, if you will, so that nothing without acceptance shall by any means hurt us. So although you may have been taught that it's an option to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, I know that he is, they are, you know, hear me this morning. It's absolutely essential that we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power from on high. Why? 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 Why is that important? The baptism in, say in the Holy Spirit will help us to shut those doors and block the enemy from our lives. What am I saying? If you want to block the devil from getting into your affairs, amen? And if you want to block him from accessing your life through open doors, which you have opened, because again, nobody can open those doors but you, then please, please, okay, don't go through life saying, well, the baptism in the Holy Spirit just isn't for me. It is. It is. No, no, that stuff scares me. You know, no, 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 no. It's just not for me. It's just not for me. I don't like all that weird stuff that goes on when that happens. You know, this I'm going to say this again because I've said it 1,000 times, and you can rewrite it down if you want to. God is not spooky. People are spooky. Yeah. You know, sometimes people want the Holy Ghost to move so badly that they make, excuse me, but they manipulate the move of the Holy Ghost, which ends up not being a move of the Holy Ghost, and they get weird. And they think that the weirder it is, the more God it is. That's not true. God is not spooky. God is supernatural. God's aim and desire is to get you to come to the place where you're going to spend eternity with him. He's not going to do that by trying to spook you. Three words. People spook you. Amen? You know, I never forget my cousin. Went to a church, and he was at a place where he was really open to the things of God. You know, he was Catholic, and actually we were at that time too. But there was a movement in a Catholic church called the Charismatic Renewal, and we were being charismatic as we were being renewed, you know. And anyway, they called for anybody who would like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Tim, my cousin, he wanted anything that God would give to him. Do you remember that time in your life where you would take anything that God gave you? That should be right now too, okay? Okay, all right. But he went up front, and a whole bunch of people, and this is the way he said it, they tackled me, and they stood over me, and they were praying, and I don't even know what they were praying. I don't know what language they were speaking, but they so overwhelmed him. They so spooked him that he was done with that. He never grew past that point, but he never came to the place where he was open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit again because people spooked him. You know, I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, all right. Pastor Brown, most of you know him probably. He's been a couple times. Had been fasting, and he was praying for everybody. And some guy come running up to me, says, "You need baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized." And I'm going, "Okay, I didn't know." So I walked up there, and he prayed for me, and I don't know who it was that knocked me down, because somebody must have knocked me down, because that's where I ended up on the floor. Now, you know I'm kidding, right? But I did end up on the floor. Anyway, and yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That single thing, speaking in tongues, has been demonized.
Yes.
Over the years, the people are just spooked. They're just afraid. They just run from the very thing that would make a difference in their life.
Yes.
Because either they have been taught the opposite, and that teaching, and when you receive a teaching, it gets stuck in here, okay? But that doesn't mean it can't be unstuck, all right? And when and if you're someone that has that teaching stuck in your head, that ends up being kind of a roadblock, because you receive that baptism by faith. Thank you. But even among Pentecostals, okay, even among us, all right, there's people that would say, hey, that's not for me. You know, I like the church. I believe everything the church says. But no. That's pretty scary stuff. And if that's you that has said that, you know, you need to stop saying that, okay? I'll be your mother this morning. Stop saying that, okay? And accept what God has given you for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, and begin to slam shut those open doors in your life. There's something that I just said that I didn't realize maybe I might focus on. And that is, and I really want to ask you this question. Do you remember when you were open and, in fact, wanting anything that God would give you?
Yeah.
Are you still there today?
You
know, are you still there today? And that's the question for you, please. You know, am I still at the place where if somebody tells me there's something more yet that I can get in God, I'm going to do the best I can to get that? Are you still in that place? Why don't you bow your heads with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. If that's you this morning, would you please stand? If you're at the place in your life where you would take anything that God has for you, would you stand with me, please? If you're still at the place, or maybe I should put it a little differently. If you want to be at the place that you were at, because I know, and I've said this 1,000 times, we ebb and we flow. Sometimes we're pulling back, other times we're reaching out to the Lord. Why don't you make this declaration with me, all right? And no, it's not on the screen. Heavenly Father, let's speak it out, okay? Let's speak it out like it was on the screen, okay? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I want to be open.
I want to be open.
For anything.
For anything.
And everything.
And everything.
That comes from you.
That comes from you.
I want to be open.
I want to be open.
To receiving.
To receiving.
Those things.
Those things.
Which I didn't believe.
Which I didn't believe.
I want to be open.
I want to be open.
Thank you, Lord. why don't you come off just up here a minute? And Jack, would you please come? And Todd, of course, I don't see Todd anymore. Okay, he'll come up. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't offer to those who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've had a couple people come up here. I will be here and Serena will be here. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, please know one thing. Please know one thing. God has that for you. He has that for you. In fact, it's part of his plan. Part of his plan. Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could come, so Jesus could baptize us in the Spirit and walk in power and live a victorious Christian life. Not without temptation, not without trouble, but we have the option of living that and living it victoriously. So, we're going to sing this next song. If you want prayer for anything, okay, absolutely anything, please come up to these. And Pat, if you would come up too. I'm sorry, the prayer partners as well, come up. Pat and, yeah, come on up. And all these people that are up here will either pray for what you want them to pray for, or they will pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I promise you, not one of them is going to jump on you and make you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember one time Brooke Timmer was crying, and I asked her, why are you crying, Brooke? They made me get baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, she was a little kid at the time, all right? Nobody's going to make you. Nobody's going to force you. But know this much. God has that for you. So I want to release you to come. And if you're coming for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay, that's fine. If you want to come for any other kind of prayer, that's fine too.